You're listening to the Rick Soto Podcast. For more information about Pastor Rick Soto and the Ranch Church, go to ranchchurch.com.
So this morning, the message is called Jesus LGBTQ. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
And so Jesus, give us favor as we preach your word. Everybody say amen. I need to read this section. I'm going to read again the whole chapter to the very end, picking it up in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, which says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." I want to stop in that reading and be a pastor to a church that understands the word all. So everybody say the word all.
All.
All. It's the way to understand the context of everything else. So we are going to talk about gay lifestyle and lesbian lifestyle. But you have to understand everything that's being spoken there is talking to you. If you're straight or not, that's that word all. That God actually is having a revelation. And at the very end of the chapter, I want you to notice that what's being spoken of is very particular. And there's a whole list after we talk about the LGBTQ crowd, as we talk about it to this day, where Paul is letting everyone know, do you gossip? Yeah, because we don't really want to admit that, do we? Wrath of God is poured out on those who would tear apart churches and communities by gossiping. Do you slander? The wrath of God is being poured on those who would tear families apart by slandering. Do you invent evil? The wrath of God is being poured on those who would actually use the creative powers that God has gifted them in the flesh to invent evil. Like, all of that is equal. We tend to, because of a political nature going on, focus and camp. And it's an overreaction. I'm actually stunned that in the list we're going to read, gossiping is included in that. But it is. Going on now, just in the reading, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." So what's fascinating about what Paul is getting at here, as we talk about the idea of homosexuality and lesbianism, it's really the same for all of us, that God actually is telling us all these people are people to be loved. But there is something that we have to understand related to how God is operating. So I've just enjoyed a wonderful time of soaking in the book of Genesis. You know, it's fascinating when you look at the book of Genesis and when you kind of do a little bit of a deep dive study, you begin to realize that the patriarchs, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as an example, they began to build altars. Now, what is an altar? You know what an altar is? It's just as if we're going down here and we get some river rock and we sort of put these rocks one upon another and then we just call it a memorial. Or sadly, as a way of an example, sometimes you go on the road, whether it's here on the 246 or I've been enjoying some Jesus Loves Me time up on Figueroa Mountain. And so as you go up the winding road there, sometimes you'll see generally like a cross and maybe a person's name on it. I understand. I don't know any particulars, but I get the idea that that's sort of a remembrance possibly for someone who either lost their life there or maybe in another place. But it's that idea of remembrance. Something happened. And so I have to do something to promote that remembrance of it. That's an altar. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all had these communions with God. That's what that altar is. And by way of an example, in Genesis chapter 35, Jacob's name is finally changed to Israel. It's actually the second time that has come to him. And God is saying, you've been hanging out in this place called Shechem, and you're there way too long. I didn't want you hanging out there, and I want you to go to Bethel where I met with you. Remember Bethel? I gave you a ladder that you could see supernaturally, and you saw angels jumping up and down on the ladder. And I've never seen angels jumping up and down on a ladder, but if God were to let me see that, I would want to go back to that place every day. And so he says, go back there. And by the way, this is now to the point of these altars and communion with God. Your name is no longer Schemer. That's the name Jacob. That's how you've lived your life, Jacob. I blessed you. I gave you heritage. I gave you legacy. I've been with you and your family the whole time. But your whole approach to faith and walking with me has been as a schemer. We are done with those days. You are now Israel, where I now am going to wrestle with you in such a way that you will be attached to me, and my victories are now your victories. And by the way, I win every time. Amen. That's why I like to say we're on the winning team. And so at these places of these altars is this communion with God where your identity changes. Where your very identity changes, where maybe you get a new spiritual name or a new spiritual mission, and where you understand the depth of your forgiveness with God is so great, so phenomenal, so deep and weighty that you are not the same, which is why God's people come and say, we are not so much identified by all of our genders, although we're clearly male and female. That's what the Bible is. I don't walk around and say I'm a straight man. I don't walk around and say I'm a gay man. I walk around and say I'm a Jesus man. That's my identity because he has saved me. He has changed me. And so we are saved and changed when we have these communions with God. Paul here is preaching about those who are denying that kind of communion with God. So they're silly, or they're stupid, or they're in error, or perhaps they're actually walking in such a way that harm could actually happen to them. They did not give thanks. Their foolish hearts, literally the text says, become dark, and they are actually exchanging things that should glorify God for things that don't. Therefore, continuing on now in verse 24, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. So when we talk about our sexuality, what's fascinating is that God in the text talks about our sexuality. The Bible has a lot to say about that. And one of the foundation ways of understanding this is what has been mentioned here related to the creature and the creation. And so God is the creator. We are the creation. So if God is a creator, it meant that he made you beautiful. He is the designer. That's a word to know. He's the one who designed things. He's the one who designed humanity. He's the one who designed sexuality. He's the one who designed family life. He's the one who designed society. He's the designer. So let me ask you, if he is the designer, do you think he knows how the design should work? He knows what it's like to make you happy. He knows what it's like to put your family together. He knows what it's like to put your life together. He knows what it's like to give you a career. He knows what it's like to advance your life. He's actually that designer. And so he knows best. If you just think basically about a car or a truck, a lot of you guys come to church since we're here in the San Ynez Valley, and you have Jesus Loves Me Mighty Fine Trucks. Man, you guys got some like nice trucks. I like just looking at those tires and those wheels. And you come with your diesel motors, and it's got, some of you have the old school at banks, ding, 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 ding. It's really masculine. Others of you have a diesel motor that's super quiet. Well, any brother and sister knows, if you have a diesel motor, you put diesel fuel in it. That's how it works. And if you don't put diesel fuel in it, it's not going to work very well for very long. Ultimately, that engine will break down, and it will not function the way it's supposed to. Now, a few of you are really coming to church with super Jesus Loves Me Tesla cars. I know you. I know you. You have that Tesla car. I'm looking at you. Now, you wouldn't go to the gas station and try and charge that Tesla car with fuel, would you? First of all, it wouldn't even work. You'd spill it over. You'd make a huge mess. It wouldn't make, because that Tesla car is charged differently. You understand, we're the same. God designed us. He gave us a soul and a spirit. He made us. He gave us our physicality. And those things function in design a certain way. And what we have done all over the world, whether it's here in the North American continent, whether it's in Europe like our brother was sharing, whether it's in Africa or South America, Middle East, what we have done is we have walked away from God's design. We have exchanged all over planet Earth the way God says things work. And so we've exchanged that. We've done exactly what the text says not to do. And when Paul was done saying this, he said that who is blessed forever, and he shouts, amen. Now, getting more specifically into the subject matter here about these people to love. So Paul says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, which means there's honorable passions and dishonorable passions. For their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And men likewise gave up natural relations with women who are consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in them the due penalty for their error. So I don't know how more plain those words could be and be misunderstood. Apostle Paul is talking about what we call properly same-sex attraction. And he's dealing with this here in a very fascinating way, where he's mentioning women and their passions of a sexual nature. He's mentioning men of their passions of a sexual nature. And both have actually walked away. So let's take a few moments and chase what we know about the ancient Roman family. And I have to really wrestle to do this in the most G-rated way. But the ancient Roman family, with what I'm about to say, is not the only people group. All over the world, places of Africa, places of South America, the Caribbean, where I'm from and born and where my family's from and born, also has the same problem. But here in ancient Rome, it sort of works like this. If you were a good wife, and it actually historically started with the wife, and your husband was successful, so it meant that he would be in the power position of culture with money. What you did was you went and you got him a teenage girl. She actually moved in with you. You would build on a special room to the house. And that man was allowed to have sexual favors with that teenage girl. Now, further, if she was a great wife, she would get a teenage boy who would move in with the family, and they would perform the same things. And so this is what ancient Rome was like. If you had the money, if you had the power, if you had the status in society, if you doubt what I'm saying, and I'm quite confident you would not, this is written here around AD 58. Right about then, a new Caesar, a new emperor is coming into Rome by the name of Nero. And Nero would, just a few years after coming to the throne, have his mother and his wife killed. And he would take on a young boy who was a teenager as his lover, and he would marry her, make her the Empress of Rome. All of this is in basic history. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. And he is in the most methodical and thoughtful and clear way explaining the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, I know how the culture you live in goes. Let me clearly explain Jesus to you. Let me clearly explain Christian family to you. Let me tell you the designer. Let me tell you the design. Let me tell you how our family works. Let me tell you how our sexuality is and is not. Let me tell you what is out of bounds, whether your culture desires it and accepts it or not. Do you now, church at Rome, church in the San Andreas Valley, church in the United States, do you now normalize and accept gay relations? That is not in the economy of the kingdom of God. That is not in the economy of the family of God. We don't hate anybody. We don't kick and cast you out. We love you. And we will ask you to encounter the risen Jesus Christ just like we have. And in the same way that all of our humanities and sexual orientations and all of our desires got recalibrated in a new way, so that will happen with you. Paul, as he addresses here these things, he goes further. And he says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. So this is all stemming from the very first moments we use the word all. Evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Is that amazing? It's quite a list. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decrees and that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them. This is Paul saying underneath all of this are all these different people. And they all can encounter the consequences of rebellion to God. And yet there's good news coming. Let me share some thoughts related to what we call same-sex attraction and what I believe are some of the limitations that we have done as Christians. Who's buzzing around there? In Jesus' name, go away. There you go. There are some things as a church in preaching the gospel to those with same-sex attraction issues that we have kind of fallen short of some wisdom. So let me share with you some wisdom. I'm sure I'm not the only person who in a prior life was rather immoral. If I were to tell you a lot of those details, I'd be a little embarrassed. And so we'll just leave it at that. And so I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got lit. I got into the Word, and I got discipled. And certainly God transformed me from the inside out, no doubt. But that doesn't mean that I'm incapable ever of walking down the street and not experiencing lust. The gospel doesn't say that. And I'll explain more in just a moment. I can walk down the street even now and I can have lust in my heart. I can covet. I can look at somebody's truck and go, that's a mighty fine truck. Why don't I have a truck like that? Right? Because that's the reality of my heart. I can go down and have all kinds of weird sexual lustful thoughts. It's what we do with those things. And so sometimes we have come to members of the gay community and let them know, you come to Jesus and you're never going to have a same-sex attraction feeling ever. That's just not true. You live on planet Earth. I can tell you what to do with that. I can tell you where to go with it. I can tell you how to change and transform. But I cannot promise you that you'll live every day of your life and never, never, ever, never, ever have a feeling or thought like that. That is just not true. God delivered me from binge drinking beer. I still have moments where I go, man, what would that be like? Now, they're rare. They're absolutely rare. But that can happen. We have to understand the difference. Here's what I want you to know, church, between bondage and temptation. The Bible makes a very clear distinction of the difference between bondage and temptation. Everything that I have described to you about my own humanity has simply been, that's temptation. That's walking down the street, stinking devil, wanting to trip me up, wanting to trip you up. Some of that's your own flesh, limitations of your own mind. Some of that's your own lack of immaturity. Some of that's your own lack of spiritual discipline. And so that's temptation. There's a whole difference to bondage. Bondage is something completely different. That's the inability to have righteousness in you to say no to the wrong things. And so you give yourself over and over and over, and you find yourself in a constant crazy cycle. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again on the third day, that he went into Galilee and showed himself to all the disciples, that he went up to heaven and released the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon us, and you can have the crazy cycles in your life broken. Yeah. That's like a really good time to like go, yeah, amen, you know. That's okay, you missed a moment, that's all right. I realize it's cold. It's a little windy out there, that's all right. We'll get going. Church, do you understand the difference between temptation and bondage? They're not the same. Not the same at all. And so heterosexual lust, you can be delivered from the bondage of that in all the crude forms. But that doesn't mean you'll never face temptation again. And you can be a lesbian, and you can be delivered from all of your lesbian thoughts and behaviors and all of that doesn't mean that you won't face temptation again. You can be a gay man, it's the same thing. So those, pressing the point a little further, over the years I've had members on both sides of the divide sort of challenge me on this. Perhaps the easiest illustration that I could maybe give to push back, just using things in the natural, supernatural, are related to professional athletics. So for example, what we know about the body is the body can adapt. So a professional athlete in the NFL, in the NBA, Major League Baseball, all of you soccer guys, I know my Italians in the back telling me I got to mention World Cup soccer and all of that. They're going to get all upset at me if I don't. There are people who have athletic ability. Nobody wakes up a professional athlete. Nobody does. If you're in the NFL, every single play of contact is actually a traffic accident. That's what it does to the body. The brain shakes, the bones shake, all of that. So you can train your body. You can actually create a level of fitness within your body to actually accomplish a certain kind of goal. You can actually alter your desires. You can actually train your body to actually have different desires. You can do that with dieting. You can do that with fitness and exercise. You can also do that with your sexuality. What I have just said is rock solid mainline science. It is nothing innovation of what I've told you. We know that the body sexually will adapt to righteousness. And so there is a difference between bondage and between temptation. And Jesus comes to you and I and says, I am making all things new. Do you have heterosexual lust? Jesus can make all things new in your life. Do you have LGBTQ lust? You can make all things new because Christ comes. The sad thing that actually breaks my heart about our culture and where it's at is the politicization of this takes out the glory of the gospel and means that people who want to actually change are prohibited from doing so. My experience and in this church, so people want to know Jesus and they want to grow and they want to change. I can think not long ago, actually, of someone who came forward at an altar call and gave their lives to Jesus, and they were a transvestite. And I didn't know if they were a man or woman. I had to look at them and I go, wait, I don't, and I'm keeping it to myself. And they're simply telling me, they said, look, I got the message and I've been wrestling and they didn't live here and they were just found the church and so they really wanted to give their lives to Jesus and they're telling me about their transvestite nature and all of that and I got to tell you, I'm looking at them going, brother or sister? I don't know. But see, this person wanted to change. They wanted to grow. They wanted to be different. And we have a culture that says no to that. No, don't go to church and ask Christ into your life and have you change in that way. I'm here to tell you that I've seen gay men get saved at our church who are actually having all kinds of behaviors with that and seeing their lives transform. I've seen that happen with lesbian women and everything else. I've seen that happen. And yet we live in a culture that is trying to suppress change. And if Jesus is offering to you anything, it's salvation, and that salvation will in fact change you. What Paul is illustrating here is that it will change your sexuality globally. It'll change you on the heterosexual side. It'll change you on the homosexual, lesbian side. It will actually change you. And so we are not going to be here preaching the gospel any way else with any kind of difference. So are you here hearing these words and you have same-sex attraction issues? I say yes, amen. I got good news for you. Jesus Christ wants to come into your life and love your life and pour goodness in your life and save you from your sins like he saved everybody else from your sin and deliver you unto a new life. Do you cross-dress? Do you have transgender and gender confusion? Good. Glad you're here. Come to Jesus. Christ will come in and fill your life and save your life and do beautiful things in your life. I'm here to tell you that God has great plans beyond your sexual orientation. He has great plans for you. And your story will simply be listed in heaven as one of those great stories of tremendous, tremendous deliverance. And God will love you and pour his heart upon you and give you all the peace and rest you desire because he has saved you from your sin. Your sin, I'll say this about our culture and pray. What I love about the current culture, about the only complimentary thing I can say, is that it's easy now to talk to and talk about. I'm old enough to where this was kind of something that was a little odd or weird. But now I hang out with 20-somethings and 30-somethings or whatever, and I say, hey, tell me about your gay friends. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you all about them. Tell me about your lesbian friends. Oh, yeah. Hey, any of your friends are cross-dressing? Oh, my, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, that's great. Hey, bring them around. Let's pray for them. Let's talk to them. Let's share Jesus with them. Sure, they'd love it. It's a whole different world. The fields are white unto harvest if we will tell the world that they can be saved in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to pray. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray for us at this moment, Lord God, that we would be your church. You would be our God. You would be Lord. You would be Christ. You would be Savior and Deliverer. You would come for us. And you would save us no matter where we are at. And so I pray for us now, Lord God, that your mercy would run full, that we would know you, Jesus, risen from the dead, as our Savior and Lord. My friends, just as we're here in a moment of meditation, here's what I want to pray. It doesn't matter whatever the subject matter is. I believe that there are people here today, you just need to be delivered. You are in that crazy cycle. You have some degree of bondage. Maybe you haven't even called it that. And you need deliverance. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at. You just can confess, go, I just got some areas in my life that I am stuck in a form of bondage, and I need deliverance. And if that's you, would you just raise your hand? Would you raise your hand where you're at? Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you, guys. And so, Father, I pray for those that would have this confession. And I pray now, Jesus, that your love would baptize them full, all the way to the full. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the clarity of your word and the preaching of your gospel. To these things we say, amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, if you raise your hand, I want the prayer team to come here. I want you guys to come up right now on the prayer team. If you guys get out of your seat and come forward here. And then I also want all of you guys just come and get prayer. Don't leave church without getting prayer. If you raise your hand, come and pray with my friends here. God's going to bless you. Okay, guys, love you. Be at peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rick Soto Podcast. For more information about Pastor Rick Soto and the Ranch Church, go to ranchchurch.com.